$5,300 less a year, and it continues as the wages increase.
Federal spending cuts would also kick in. As the Northeast digs out for more than a foot of snow in some parts, NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer says another winter storm is expected to hit Saturday.
We aren't looking for this one to be much of a mess in the Northeast. Maybe 3 inches tops, I'd say that would be on the higher side of this storm system.
Many people in Arkansas are facing the prospect of life without electricity into the new year following that earlier winter storm. More than 200,000 were initially left without power. This is NBC News Radio. The general who led Operation Desert Storm in 1991 has died. General Norman Schwarzkopf was 78. He was nicknamed Stormin' Norman for his personality and temper. He was also known for leading an effort of restraint after successfully driving the Iraqis out of Kuwait.
There was nobody between us and Baghdad. If it had been our intention to take Iraq, if it had been our intention to destroy the country, if it had been our intention to overrun the country, we could have done it unopposed.
The general said he agreed with former President George H.W. Bush's decision not to march into Baghdad. And speaking of the 41st president, the elder Bush remains hospitalized in Houston. The 88-year-old is stricken with a persistent fever and cough. Americans are now banned from adopting Russian children. President Vladimir Putin signed the bill today as part of the country's increasingly confrontational stance with the West. China's government has officially enacted rules further tightening internet controls. I'm Mara Scavocampo, NBC News Radio.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell.
Like the
introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Get-Go stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at enjoy.com.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-614-4102. That's 1-800-614-4102.
Walmart, like Apple, has been trying to police conditions at supplier factories around the world in places like China and Bangladesh. Now, it'll do the same for workers at warehouses it uses to ship its goods. The Wall Street Journal says such third-party warehouses ramp up operations during the Christmas season, hiring thousands of temps through staffing agencies to help speed the volume of holiday presents to doorsteps and store shelves. In Illinois, workers have filed a class action lawsuit alleging that a hiring agency cheated warehouse workers out of wages. DirecTV subscribers had better be ready to pony up more cash in the new year. The satellite television provider says its service fees will rise by an average of 4.5% in February due to increasing programming costs. DirecTV has to pay about 8% more for programs since almost all of its providers are hiking their rates. Fiscal cliff worries hanging on with no resolution in sight, so after 4 days of Wall Street losses, S&P futures are down 3, NASDAQ down 5, Dow futures down 29. I'm Steve Podisk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was a right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Up, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans.
We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 1130 AM WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 a.m. We will keep fighting for justice on 1130 AM WDFN.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
And empowered voices of Union Circle, Gary Bingham and Joe Lentini. And Gary and Joe, welcome to First Shift. I want to thank you both for being in studio with us today. And just thought, you know, since we're building a family here, might as well bring the two Papa Bears in so everybody can meet everybody. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having us.
I appreciate it. You know, Gary, let me start with you. Let's talk about, this is not something that you guys just decided a couple of months ago. Hey, you know, we need to put this social networking site together. So tell us a little bit about how this came to be.
Well, about 8 months ago, we met with some people that were, one time one of the guys did some work for AOL, and he's been developing programs, and we started talking about unions and how the unions today are, all the jobs that they're losing and what's been going on, and we said, gee, a good thing would be if we could get everybody together where everybody could be fighting one force. And it gives them a little bit more power. As you know, since the Reagan administration was there, I mean, the Democrats have lost all power and continually gone down. And in the last 5-6 years with the economy the way it is, nobody seems to know where they're going. And we just thought that if we put something together, it would work. And especially it kind of works with us. It works with our other business, everything that we do. All of our companies have always been union. We go after the unions. We want them to be us.
All right. Well, Joe, let's talk about the other things that you do before we talk a little more specifically about Union Circle. What is it that your companies, because there are multiple companies, what is it that you folks do?
We have two primary companies. One is a utility contracting firm called Lee Chem Inc., and our members are IBEW Local 17. And we have another company called Golden Dental Plans, which is a dental HMO, and we service all the building trades, Teamsters, some UAW, Wayne County, Macomb County, City of Detroit, and our members in that company are UAW. So we are pro-union. We're union companies. And, you know, not just as a union company, but as a vendor of organized labor, we saw this. There's a struggle there for us to communicate with the membership. And a lot of the locals are having that same struggle. So one of the main goals of Union Circle is to try to help the local interact with the membership a little better. And the membership interact with the local as well. So it's a platform to communicate and to grow, to share ideas. It's free. And we're really excited about it.
You know, I'll throw this question back to Gary. I have been astounded. You know, we've been promoting this about a month, a little over a month now. We've shared this with a lot of people. We've had a lot of people join, and yet I haven't had one negative comment. I haven't had one person say, "Well, this functionality doesn't work," or "I don't think this is going to." Not one negative comment, and I'm just curious because you guys now have been live with this about the same amount of time I've been on board. I mean, live in a bigger way. Are you getting nothing but positive? I mean, normally I get negative feedback. I'm not getting not a word, not a negative word, not one.
Actually, Tony, we are getting nothing but positive feedbacks out of this. And one of the key things that we're noticing with a lot of the unions that we deal with and a lot of unions that we're going after, they're looking forward to being on because they do not have a media sense for them to get to their members other than maybe mail or newsletters or this. This way now they can be able to go online, they can post the jobs that are coming up, they can post some activities that are going on in the union, they can do everything, get to their members immediately instead of waiting for it to go through the mail. And half the times, as you know, in the mail, people don't read it. Yeah. Especially if they think it's junk mail.
Well, and social media has become the way to do it. So to build this in that model, and Joel, I'll turn to you again, to build in that model of either Facebook or Twitter, what I find fascinating is you've integrated it with those things. So you don't have to leave anything to join this. You can actually integrate it with what you're already doing. So I'll give you credit for being the visionary there.
No, and that was by design. But it's also, the site's working extremely well. But we're just starting to really grow the membership. And as the membership grows, the site's going to get more and more exciting because we have a tremendous amount of vendors that are looking to offer discounts to our members. You know, because it's not just voting power and the speaking power of Union Circle, but there's some buying power there, too, and we want our membership to be able to share in that. So we've got a lot of vendors that are going to be on, I would say, within 2 weeks where you're going to see discounts, coupons all over. Giveaways are going to be expanded. There's a lot of people that want to give us products just you know, to be able to get the word out there of what they have. We're trying to promote companies that are pro-union. And if they are union, that's even better. But we'll take union-friendly, too.
All right. And so that people understand this, this for both of you, if there are companies that are listening to us right now that have something to offer, you want to hear from them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me give you a for instance, Tony. When we first started this, we did a major presentation to all the presidents of all the building trade unions, probably in January. At that time, there was a big picket line out in front of Art Van, their
50-mile
location. The carpenters had been picketing them for 6-8 months at least, minimum. We ended up doing the presentation. One of the gentlemen who was a partner of ours is doing a lot of the advertising, Alan Sussman from Sussman Sykes, was happened to be sitting in the room, heard the carpenters were, you know, yeah, we don't want Art Van. Well, Art Van happened to be his client. He went back, met with Art Van, met with the people. The next day we had a meeting with Mike Jackson, the head of the carpenters, and they pulled the picket line off. They fired the 9 union company, brought in the union company, and they've been with us ever since. That's just the power of this. Of, you know, they were afraid that all the unions get together. That's a lot of people other than just a few people.
You know, let me just ask you both, because this is kind of, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, building the better mousetrap. And so you have this idea. And I'm sure that, you know, when you guys first thought about doing this and got that small team together and got excited about it, you start to wonder, you know, really, is there going to be a market for this? Are people going to get excited about it? And here we throw it out there. I'll give you an example. There's a guy last week that joined, and he joined on on Wednesday, and he said to me, I'm off work for a couple weeks. I'm not going to be back until mid-August. But I noticed yesterday when I went on unioncircle.com, he's been going nuts. He's doing posting all kinds of videos and links and. And so I sent him an email this morning before I came in. I get up, as you guys know, I get up awfully early, and I sent him an email this morning. I said, hey, Brian, you know, tell me what's going on. It seems to me like you're having way too much fun. He said, I cannot wait to get to work and share this with people. So what he said, do you have any brochures? Because I have one here. So I'm going to have to get some of these from you guys. I'll come by the office because you're in Warren. I'll come by the office and get some. But he can't wait. I mean, people are chomping at the bit. Did you expect that people would react this strong a way? Because I didn't expect people to react this strongly.
We didn't really know how powerful it would be until we got started. And the more union leadership that we met with, the more we realized how exciting it was. So we think we're going to surpass all our goals as far as membership. We think it's going to be very, very exciting.
And this, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is a national website. I don't want people, and that's the other thing I've been trying to stress. In fact, I'm guest hosting the Ed Schultz Show the next 3 days, and I'm going to really promote this to his audience. This is a national community. This is not just local. This isn't Southeast Michigan. This is a national community, right?
Absolutely.
Plus, we're also international. We've now picked up all the building and construction trades in Canada. They're now members of Union Circle. The electricians, the bricklayers, they've all joined Union Circle, so we're pretty happy of that.
I would be too. And this is just such a neat thing. I found a video, and this is my own little testimony. I found a video at unioncircle.com, and it was on, and I'll get into more specifics later, but it was on a company, a trade, the Associated Builders and Contractors, which is a right-leaning anti-union organization. And it beautifully explained what they were, because I sometimes, even though I'm a word guy, sometimes I have trouble just explaining this stuff. So somebody had posted this video on there. Joe, you're looking at me like, have you seen that video?
No, not yet.
Oh, you got to see it. It's great. Well, I took it, and not only did I post it, and this is where I love the Facebook function, not only did I comment on it on the unioncircle.com site, but I also posted it to Facebook, and we got hundreds of comments on it. Wouldn't have happened without Union Circle. And it was a great video. It's 6 minutes long. It was perfectly done. And I had more people thank me for posting that, but I would have never found it without UnionCircle.com.
Well, we also have within Union Circle is UnionCircleNews.com.
Yes.
And it's the largest single site for labor-related articles that you can find. And we're drawing information from all over the country.
See, now this is where you're in trouble, because I told Cheryl, you know, I'm keeping notes. You guys are going to get. She goes, that's fine. Send me your notes. We want to hear from you. Because, you know, you got it. I just warning you. You got some of my notes coming your way.
Yeah, good.
But you, like Joe said, with the Union Circle News, you go on. I mean, there's so many different articles, and it's updated every day. I mean, there's something new being posted and updated every day. So you can go on and find something new. Plus, for those guys that like to be on the computer and play games and stuff, we've even added an area where they can just play games. We have a variety of games for them to sit there and do if they want to do them.
Well, I've been really, really pleased with, you know, hey, we're always nervous, right, when it's our thing. Don't tell me that you weren't that. When you guys said to me, hey, go in there, play with it, you're nervous, right? You think, okay, what's Tony going to think? Well, I'm the same way. So I start sharing this before I even mentioned it on the air. I sent it to a handful of people and said, hey, go on there, join, friend me, my producer, Jeff. I said, you know, and then let me know what you think. And here I am crossing my fingers, going, oh, boy. Just because I like it doesn't mean everybody's going to like it, right? Come on, we've all had that experience.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, not a negative word. So
Gary and I are not Facebook guys. I mean, we're not guys that were on Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression.
Prior to this concept, we really aren't. We're not surfing on that much. And
well, you're pretty busy.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
All right, we got to take a quick break, guys. Can you stay with me a little longer?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. UnionCircle.com. Again, I want to point out that it's free. You can go right now and sign up. And then I want you to friend me. All you have to do is search my name, and I'm there, and friend me, and I'll accept your friend request, and we're good to go. Quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this on the other side.
This is John Feigl from the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice in Detroit, Michigan, wishing everybody out there listening, Tony and all the folks at the station, a warm and happy holiday.
On 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
You will come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe. And he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them, horrify them, freak them out. Don't worry, they'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. Than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Gary Bingaman and Joe Lentini are with me from UnionCircle.com. UnionCircle.com. 40 million members of labor around the country. Now, that's just in the U.S. You guys are mentioning Canada, so that gives us, I don't know, probably another 5 million or more. This does have if it ends up having an international flavor, interestingly, the American Federation of Teachers had their national conference in Detroit this past week, and I did the show from Kobo and spoke with some people out of the UK, and where the union structure there was surprisingly similar to what it is here. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but the more I talked to these people, you know, it was just all very, very interesting. Maybe we can get them involved. But let me ask this question, because it's a question that's been asked of me. Not every union seemingly is represented on your list of unions right now, but that's only a function of you haven't gotten to everybody yet. So it's, I mean, eventually, and we're not going to assume anything, because people do need to sign into this. I mean, they do need to, they need to buy in, but I can't imagine that you're not going to have everybody on board. Can you?
No, and the way the program is designed, once members from a certain union start joining, then we'll reach out to that union and we'll notify them that their page is active and allow them to take ownership of it.
Fair enough. I mean, you know,
it's a simple process.
Right. I mean, because I've had a couple people say, hey, I belong to this union and I didn't see them on the list. And okay, well, that doesn't mean you can't join. First of all, you don't need to be in a union. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You don't need to be in a union, but if your union's not on there, that doesn't mean that, first of all, we don't need some kind of coronation or blessing. If you live and breathe, you can join UnionCircle.com. So it's that simple. And there's no negative to your union not being on that list. But let's talk about opening this up to everybody. I think that's a brilliant idea. Gary, I'll ask you, why did you make the decision not to make this exclusive to just union folks?
Well, we thought plenty of people out there really believe in unions and believe what they stand for. They believe in the democratic policies, and we just thought it would be right to have everybody involved that wanted to be involved. As we said, the pages that we set up for each union is they can set up their own private page where they have only access to them and their members, or they can invite anybody and everybody in, so they have that limitation to keep them out if they don't really want them out. But we want everybody to join. We want everybody to be part of UnionCircle.com.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that I like about when you every time you go in, you get – well, I don't want to ruin it. Folks go. You just got to go because you can actually win stuff right away. Right now, you can go win stuff.
Today.
I'm going to leave it alone, though. I keep on thinking, if I win, I think I'm going to have to donate it back because I already feel like I'm getting so much out of it. I really am enjoying – this website, guys. I mean, I'm enjoying it maybe more than I should, but I'm really enjoying the functionality. The idea of it is what really excites me, because something that we've talked about on this show many, many times, maybe you've even heard us talk about it, to be in on the ground floor of something is what's really exciting. Why don't you both address that? Because talk about ground floor, you guys are the founders of this. So, Joe?
Well, again, I mean, the concept just came up because we saw the need to communicate. A lot of unions that we deal with, a lot of locals have got some dynamic websites, but the membership's just not really visiting it on a regular basis. So the intent of Union Circle is to create a little more excitement, a little more reason for the member to come to that site, and once he's at that site, the local can engage him or the international can engage him. They can steer him to their website. They can send any kind of information they want to him. They can send it to his cell phone. There's all kinds of levels of functionality to this. Not only can there are controls that you don't have with other social platforms. There is information that a local may want to share across the country. They may want to share with anybody. There may be some information they would only like to share with their membership. You could have a local that has membership throughout the state where they could actually have inner circles within a circle for different contracts, different negotiations. So it's just a dynamic tool. We've been programming it for, I would say, close to a year now. Mm-hmm. So it didn't happen overnight. And the funny thing is the input that we keep getting, you know, we just keep developing and developing. And it's, you know, it's a living program. I don't think it'll be ever finished. I think we'll just constantly...
Nor should it ever be finished. I think you make a profoundly important point there. For those that... And I know that one of the things that you... one of the first things that you both said to me when we met that one morning... is you said if you see something that we should be doing or if somebody suggests that we want to know, you know, send us that information. We want to know, and we can make these changes, you know, pretty damn quickly, and which is one of the great things about technology. Not that I would know or necessarily you would know how to do this, mm-hmm. but you hire the right people to do, and you don't know that because that's what I'd have to do, which is, I'm sure, what I can't see you guys sitting around programming the website. God knows that's true because you're both so very busy. But that's one of the things I like about it is that it is a living, breathing community. And like any community, virtual or otherwise, it's going to grow as the demands of that community grows. I mean, that's
absolutely
pretty exciting.
And we welcome, and we're still developing one aspect of it, and that is something we touched on earlier, and you brought it up, and that's the fact that union-friendly businesses, we do want to help them promote their product. You know, we totally believe in Buy American. This little incident that just occurred with the uniforms for the Olympics,
yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable in our minds. And these things should never happen. So at the very minimum, we want to promote businesses that are hiring in this country, that are producing products in this country. So it's a win-win for everybody.
That is a win-win for everybody. Well, I think that especially as people go on it and explore it, you know, I know that every time it'll happen today because we're talking about this now, and so people are going to go on a little later on today once they get to work or once they get home from work this evening, and I'm going to get a note. That's the other thing I like about one of the other parts of the functionality of the site. Every time somebody joins and sends me a friend request, I get an email from UnionCircle.com that says, hey, so-and-so joined, wants to be your friend. I click on a link. It takes me right to the website. I just accept it, and it's done. It's over. It's that simple. I don't have to remember to go on because it automatically emails me to do that, which I appreciate. Somebody that's busy like me, then you don't have to worry about it. And so it'll really be interesting to see what happens over the next couple days, because we're doing this now. I'm going to be promoting the heck out of it on this national show that I'm guest hosting the next 3 days. So let's see this thing grow. I'm really kind of curious to see what's going to happen over the next few days. Let's see if we can stress your system out. There's my goal. My goal is to crash you guys.
Well, we hope you do.
Yeah,
you
there
really
you go.
we really appreciate you having us here to
story night.
No, it's really my pleasure.
I said it on the break, but it's too bad that you're not streaming live, because people should see how animated you are and how much fun you are to be with.
Well, I
appreciate
that.
You know, you're fun
that.
To listen to, but it's even better when you're in the room.
I appreciate that. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll have you back. All three of us are very good friends with Kevin Moore. Quick break for the top of the hour. Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press. When First Shift continues, but we got to get to the break. We'll do it now and be back.
Hi, this is David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. For those who celebrate holidays during the season, we wish you the very, very best. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and thanks for listening.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
My name is Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. All communities and states have said, have sent a simple message that the recreational use of marijuana is something that we no longer need to keep in the closet. And in fact, in communities across the state and in states across this country, they have legalized the use. Now, whether or not it will be followed, whether or not it will be adhered to, that's another question. We still have federal laws and we still have opinions, if you will, that are mired in now decades old. I can't say that on the air. Anyway, with all that said, it is ridiculous. The billions of dollars, the billions upon billions of dollars we have spent on the war on drugs, all of the wasted money of saying no, because God knows saying no to drugs was the message that didn't do anything. But as we take a serious look at fighting a fight that doesn't need to be fought, is there anybody out there that's willing to lead the charge? The answer to that question is yes. My next guest is Sharmi Golson. Sharmi is a national drug policy reform activist. She's the co-owner and former editor of the American Cultivator, a former staff writer for LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, who has been on this program, and founder of the Michigan Moms United to End the War on Drugs, the statewide campaign to educate the media, that would be me, community and legislators about how the failed drug war intersects with and destroys families. That's right, you heard that correctly, destroys family. Joining me now from Ann Arbor is Sharmi Golson. Sharmi, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you.
You know, let's just get one thing out of the way. I mean, you know, the war on drugs is an oxymoron. It's a bunch of BS. It never worked. It's never going to work. And we need to change our thinking on this, do we not?
That's correct. And, you know, I can fill in the blanks for some of those numbers that you were referencing earlier. We've been fighting this war for 40 years, at least 40 years, since Richard M. Nixon declared in 1971 in June that drugs were public enemy number one. We've spent $1 trillion, Tony.
Wow!
It's the longest-running civil war our country has ever seen, and none of the benchmarks have been met. If you look at the goals of the failed drug war, they want to decrease drug use, decrease the flow of drugs into society, and that's not happened. That has not happened. It's been an abject failure, and I just... You know, I want to appreciate the time on the radio today to be able to talk with you and educate you about
it.
You like getting educated?
Sharmi, this is going to be the first of many visits, so don't thank me so quickly. You may learn to regret this, but go ahead.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. We had massive drug policy reform across the nation this last week on the election. And as you know, both Washington State, Oregon, and Colorado had full legalization ballot initiatives on the docket. Two of those states passed those, California and Washington State. And here in Michigan, which is huge, it's really huge. You know, 4 years ago we had California, they had their attempt to legalize. It was barely defeated. And 4 years later, people are much more well-informed. And, you know, while it's true that folks are coming out of the closet with their marijuana use, it's also true that I think, you know, this coalition of people working to end the failed drug war is people who love marijuana, people who hate marijuana, and people who don't give a damn about marijuana. What we care about is the wasted resources. We care about mass incarceration. It's decimating communities of color. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm really concerned about how it's skewed police priorities and destroying families. It's absolutely skewed police priorities. You may have seen Flint police, what's that police chief's name? I've forgotten his name. But they've already, some of these cities have already come out in Michigan and said, hey, you guys passed this marijuana referendum. You don't want us to arrest, you know, adults with up to an ounce on private property. We're going to do it anyways. So let's talk about Flint, because the problem here isn't that this is still federal law. The problem is that police make an ungodly amount of money on drug enforcement. They get paid by the federal government. They get their burn JAG grants every year. They get gifted by the feds to go ahead and go get drugs. They don't get gifted with money or equipment to go get murderers, rapists, or robbers, drugs. So let's see, FANG, the multi-jurisdictional drug task force that operates out of Flint, for the 2013 budget, they received $408,500 from the feds to go get drugs. Our asset forfeiture laws allow law enforcement to take everything you own in Michigan. It's absolutely true. I've spent years convincing legislators of this. Unfortunately, Jeff Irwin has written and vetted through Legislative Services Bureau legislation that will be introduced in January, reforming the civil asset forfeiture laws in Michigan so that law enforcers and prosecutors have to obtain a conviction before they forfeit someone's property, because currently they don't need a conviction. They don't need to charge you with a crime. I've been interviewing raid victims for years, and, you know, in the fall especially when the hemp eradication guys are out, they land a helicopter in the yard. They take all your stuff. Oftentimes they don't have warrants. And, you know, these folks are left wondering if they're going to come back and re-victimize them, which is happening increasingly as well to medical marijuana patients and caregivers since we passed the law. So you've got this policing for profit going on. And in 2009, let's look at asset forfeiture earnings for Genesee County. Let's see, in 2009, they brought in $810,000, the local police did, and the sheriffs and prosecutors brought in $316,000 in asset forfeiture. So I believe it is disingenuous, at the very least, for the Flint police to come into the media and say, you know, we've got this federal law that we've got to adhere, when the fact of the matter is that not only are they raking in hand-over-fist money, stealing from people with no accountability, but here's the really critical part, Tony. The murder, rape, and felonious assault rates from Genesee County are inexcusable. From 2011, these are Michigan State Police statistics. From 2011 in Genesee County, we had a 10% arrest rate per incident for murder, a 10% arrest rate for incident for assault, and a 2% arrest rate per reported incident for rape. So as a woman, as a parent, this is just unacceptable any longer. So it's not just about, hey, marijuana is safer than alcohol. Everybody smokes it or uses it. Most people do. So let's just get real about it. This is a real public health and safety issue.
Well, and it's also a very real issue, Charmy, of democracy. Let's hop in our car at 75. We're in Flint, and let's travel an hour and a half south to the city of Detroit, where they also passed overwhelmingly the same ordinance that says that if you are 21 and over and you have an ounce or under of marijuana for personal use, that will no longer be illegal in the city of Detroit. The president of the Detroit City Council says that was a waste of our time. We won't honor it. And God forbid, Charmy, God forbid they take those resources and put it towards stopping violent crime instead of busting some dude that's smoking a doobie on his porch. What the hell? Where are our priorities?
You're yelling. It's awesome.
I'm sorry. I'm not yelling at you. You know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It really is. You know, I've got the I'm kind of obsessed with this stuff. For Michigan Moms United, we've got a campaign right now to reform the civil asset forfeiture laws and create some drug task force accountability. These are the guys that they're so highly militarized, Tony. I'm sure folks, anybody that's my age, maybe your age, anybody that's over the age of, I'm going to be careful now. But, I mean, my father was a Washtenaw County deputy sheriff, and, you know, when he was a cop, he had a badge, he had a side, you know, side firearm. He told me that when they caught kids smoking pot or drinking, they put them in the car, drove them home, knocked down the door, handed the keys to the parents and say, we caught your kids smoking pot. You can go pick your car up. It's down by the river. To me, that's sanity. That's allowing parents to parent according to their values, not the values of the punitive failed drug war, because parents, I talk to parents all day long, these municipalities are extracting thousands of dollars from cash-strapped families and circulating their kids in and out of the criminal justice system, and adults as well. It leaves you with a record or an arrest record, which are barriers to education, employment, and housing. So, you know, nowadays, though, we've got, see, prior to Nixon declaring the drug war, raids like what we're seeing were unheard of. I mean, these are soldiers. This is a real war. It's not a cute little term that came up. It's a real war with real funding and real soldiers and real enemies. And it's incredibly lucrative. So in the 80s, I think it was about the 80s, the drug war progressed under the Military Cooperation with Law Enforcement Officials Act. And so Congress directed the military to make equipment and facilities and training available to civilian police. That's why, like, Oakland County has this tank, the Colonel, that they love so much. So now, you know, we've got the military that's drawn further into these efforts, and state and local police departments increasingly accepted the military as a model for their behavior and outlook. Well, the problem is that the mindset of a soldier is simply not appropriate for a civilian police officer, because police officers don't confront an enemy, but individual citizens who are protected by the Bill of Rights. And you can see this across the country with police brutality. It breaks my heart. One of the reasons I do this work is so we can restore right relations between law enforcement and communities. As long as we're fighting this drug war, I don't think that's possible.
Oh, you're right. Charmy, stay where you're at. We need to take a quick break here. Charmy Golson is my guest. By the way, if you go onto Facebook and search Michigan Moms United, Michigan Moms United, you'll see their Facebook page. Like it, get involved, join the discussion, but we do need to take a quick break here.
This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDPW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky, 10 parsecs, which is really high, helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Well, Charmy Golson is my guest. She's with Michigan Moms United. We've got the link to their Facebook page up on our Facebook page, so if you just go there, you can click right over, make sure you like it, and join the conversation. You know, Charmy, you're right. This is very much not about is it okay to smoke pot, and, you know, everybody's doing it, or there are lots of closet smokers. I mean, that's a totally separate conversation, and then we could have a conversation about medicinal marijuana. We could certainly talk about our neocon attorney general, Bill Schuette, who thinks he's the moral conscience of an entire state when the guy lies on television over issues he has no business touching. We could go on and on and on. This isn't about that, though. This is about wasted tax dollars fighting a war that will never be won.
And it's about public health safety. Medical marijuana, we're in our infancy stages of drug policy reform here in Michigan. We just passed this law 4 years ago. It was a huge shock. I mean, the police are like, they're running around with their heads on fire. Like, what do we do? Marijuana is evil. You take soldiers with guns into people's homes who have it. How on earth can these people think?
That's evil. That's...
So we're not going to do this. But when you look at it under the umbrella of the overall failed policy of the war on drugs, all this stuff gets a free ride. And to be really honest with you, our organization, I mean, we cover harm reduction. You know, we want to destigmatize drug use. Like I've got members of my family who off and on struggle with drug addiction, IV heroin abuse. And this is not a law enforcement issue. I don't need the police to police this health care issue. We need legitimate science to back up how we help addicts. Now, when we had alcohol prohibition, women like myself made alcohol illegal in the early 1900s. We said, this is nuts. Our men are drunk. They're crazy. Let's make this stuff illegal. And then after 10 years, what happened, Tony? We had rampant police corruption. The violence surrounding the now illegal and completely controlled by criminals black market, the black market manufactured, distributed, and sold alcohol. It took over the role of the government. And our kids were dying from bathtub gin. They were shooting each other. So women like me once again said, all right, this is a failed experiment. Let's end it. And so state by state, we ratified the whatever amendment. I'm sorry, I haven't had coffee yet this morning. We ratified the amendment that re-legalized alcohol and re-regulated it. And that's when AA was born after that, so that alcoholics weren't arrested. They weren't put in prison. They weren't shot by competitive, you know, manufacturers. They were able, when ready, to get help. And it's the same thing with drug use and addiction.
Absolutely. Charmy, we've got callers. I want to get to them before we run out of time. 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my brother. You're on the air with Charmy Golson.
Well, good morning, fellow patriots. I called my son. He stays in Washington State. You know, they just legalized marijuana in the whole state. I thought it was more of a conservative state, but then my daughter-in-law told me that it is more a liberal state.
Oh, absolutely.
So, we waste too much time and money throwing people in jail for drugs when, in fact, prescription drugs is still the number one drug in America, okay? So we got to start revamping the laws of the land and make it conducive for society, because I believe that prisons are for violent criminals, not for drug users. We need rehab houses, and we can, if we legalize that, think about the tax money that can be used in the progress of our society.
Les, now you're making sense. Thank you for your call. Charmy, get a load of Les.
Well, you know, thank you for your call, Wes, and I've got two things to say. Prescription drug deaths have surpassed car accidents by accidental deaths in this country, and it's been that way for years. And also, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a conservative or liberal state. I work with Obama Republicans. I work with Tea Party folks. I work with liberals. This is the true nonpartisan issue. We work across the board with everyone. It's been a real learning curve for me, too. I've learned to keep my mouth shut, keep my political views to myself, because the single most important thing to me is that we end this war.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone and welcome Mark in Birmingham. Mark, thanks for calling in this morning. You're on the air with Sharmi Golson.
Yeah, I appreciate this segment, but, you know, you've got to realize that when your guest is not on the air, you know, the advocates for more and more government to take away our individual responsibility is rampant, especially, you know, when it's pro-union on the Democratic side, whether it's health care, the war on business. The Republicans do their own invasion of our individual liberty. But, you know, this view that somehow President Obama is going to give us individual responsibility, we're opening ourselves up to a cradle-to-grave socialist state. Where,
Mark, what does that have to do with this topic?
Because in the idea of us taking responsibility, being able to put what we want in our bodies, whether it's good for you or bad for you, that is individual responsibility. That is taking away from the government and giving it to individuals. The left of this country wants the government to regulate, to take care of us.
Well,
so they're not
going
to allow us to make our own mistakes.
Well, and I appreciate that, Mark.
Issues.
Mark, I appreciate that. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on that. And I appreciate you giving us a call this morning, but you know, I am not looking for the government to give me everything. I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those people that you characterize, those lefties that, you know, want to be part of the victim state. And this issue has nothing to do with what you called on. But, Sharmi, I'll say this, and Mark makes a good point. It's time that we give the decision of what we want to do to our bodies back to the people that actually possess those bodies.
That's true. It's true. And, you know, he does raise a good point. There's nonstop conversation among reformers about how exactly to end this war. I mean, there's no wall of China that's going to come down for the drug war. It has permeated every aspect of the criminal justice system in ways that I still don't understand, and this is all I think about from day to night. So the question is, what do we do then? Do we give the job of regulating this now banned substance over to the imperfect government? And I got to tell you, since this is such a strong law enforcement issue, and you can call up, I strongly encourage you, Tony, to call up law enforcement against prohibition and talk to those folks, as well as Americans for Forfeiture Reform. And I can give you that information at the end of the end of the interview.
Yeah,
but
we've had Leap on the show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Really great. Yeah. So, you know, we've got to, in order to transition the police, you know, we've got to think about the police. And when I was the media director for the Committee for a Safer Michigan from January to July of this year, where we worked to put a constitutional repeal of all instances of marijuana prohibition before the voters. And we fell short of that goal of gathering enough signatures, but we're coming back. Trust me, this is not, people are not leaving our movement. They're only joining us. So during that time, though, we worked really hard to help people understand that we've got an addiction to the revenue for policing for profit here, and we've got to help the police transition. When we announced that we were going to try to put this repeal on the ballot this last November, there was a Detroit police officer or a spokesperson that came and said, well, you know what, if that's what everybody wants, as long as it's something we can relate to, we'll have to follow the law.
Hey, Sharmi, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Oh, all right.
To be continued. That was
Thank
a fast
Tony.
Half hour. Thank you. We'll be in touch. Sharmi Golson. Once again, Michigan Moms United on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, click over. We got to get to the break.
This is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, Rainbow Push Detroit, President and State Coordinator. I'd like to wish the First Shift audience a happy holidays.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bart Necker. One of the heroes of the first Gulf War has died. Desert Storm Commander General Norman Schwarzkopf is dead at age 78. He died in Tampa from complications from pneumonia. Schwarzkopf led the coalition that drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait in 1991. NBC's Diana Alvear has reaction.
Former Joint Chiefs Chairman Colin Powell issued a statement saying, quote, America lost a great patriot and a great soldier. His leadership not only inspired his troops, but also inspired the nation. He was a good friend, a close buddy.
President Obama and congressional leaders will meet today to see if the country can avoid the fiscal cliff. That's just days away. Horror on the tracks as a man has been pushed to his death by a stranger in New York City, the second such deadly train incident this month. Airport security screeners have found more than 1,500 guns this year. The TSA says that's a record. This is NBC News Radio. The massive winter storm that created chaos across the country this week is still in a giving mood. The National Weather Service says the storm is poised to give sections of northern Maine up to 13 inches of snow today. The Weather Channel's Chris Warren says travel delays are expected.
Philadelphia, the New York City area airports, all the way up to Boston during the day on Saturday will be seeing some snow. If you are planning to go to the airport on Saturday in the Northeast, bring a good book.
The State Department has closed our embassy in the Central African Republic and ordered the ambassador and his diplomatic team to leave the country as rebels there continue to advance. 2012's most popular baby names are Katniss for girls and Finn for boys. Katniss comes from the heroine of the Hunger Games. Finn appears to be a nod to the popular Glee character played by Corey Monteith. I'm Bart Neckert, NBC News Radio.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Get-Go stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
Baa baa black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
This week, we already told you how Amazon tops the list of online shoppers' satisfaction for an eighth year in a row. So this makes sense. A new survey by Experian finds Amazon was by far the busiest online retailer on Christmas Day. It was followed by Walmart.com, then Target site, Best Buy, and Macy's. Overall, Christmas Day 2012 saw a 27% increase in online traffic to the top 500 retail sites compared to last year. Meanwhile, the top searched products this holiday season were Barbie at number 5, Amazon Kindle at 4, iPad 3rd, Kindle Fire 2nd, and at number 1, Uggs. After being included in a lawsuit of workers at third-party warehouses that handle Walmart products, the retailer has decided to keep a closer eye on how subcontracted warehouses handle their employees, much like it's been watching overseas factories. Looking ahead to the opening bell, S&P futures are down 5 points, NASDAQ down 9, Dow giving back 45. I'm Steve Potaska in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Oh, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes. From back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Like introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Get-Go stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-614-4102. That's 1-800-614.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 1130 a.m. WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 a.m. We will keep fighting for justice on 1130 a.m. WDFN.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
I was absolutely blown away at the response to his brand of truth. Well, we've reached out to Representative Dillon, and he joins us this morning. He currently represents Michigan's 75th House District out of Grand Rapids, and soon will be part of the leadership team that takes over in 2013 as the campaign chair. If he needed any more passion than he already had, well, I'm thinking this issue gave that to him. Representative Dillon, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning and standing up for every working man and woman in the state of Michigan.
Well, thanks for having me, and I only wish that there were more people in our House chambers that were willing to listen to what is actually the truth about this legislation, but I know there's a lot of people out there and a lot of people around the state, around the country who are watching what we're doing and are, outraged at the way in which we're doing this and also the substance of this nonsense.
No, there's no question. There's no question. It's nonsense. And I know as I was watching that speech that you gave on the House floor, that passionate, that beautifully done speech, you know, and I got, and although you were holding notes, I'm thinking, Representative Dillon, most of that came from your heart.
Well, certainly did write a few notes, but this is an issue I've long felt, and I think the governor was absolutely right, was extremely divisive for Michigan. Once people really know what right to work for less is, I think they're pretty angry. When I've talked to, I did a web chat with M Live at 4:30 last Friday, and even the reporter didn't even understand what this was. The assumption was, you go in, an employer that has union representation, and you can choose not to join the union and just go out and do it on your own. And I think that's the kind of misinformation that's put out there, is that you have that choice. And once people realize that this has nothing to do with that, it just is a way to allow them to freeload and to weaken the power of unions and take away their ability to collectively bargain. I think that strikes at people's basic sense of fairness. And that's really the thing that bothers me the most, is this is just It really is allowing people to take advantage of other people who've worked very hard to be able to achieve something. And now billionaires who've, you know, in the case of Dick DeVos, inherited his entire fortune, are out there making policy for the state of Michigan. It angers me.
Well, it angers a lot of people, and certainly there's been a lot of reporting, not enough in my estimation, but there has been some reporting over the last few days that the DeVos family and the Koch brothers have been funding an effort to push right to work since 2007. And Representative Dillon, when you have all the money you could ever want and then a whole lot more, you can continue to sustain an effort like this over a five-year period of time and wait for the right opportunity as presented itself in 2010. And, you know, this idea, and I think what people are most angry about, and I think to put you in this category, is that the governor has been disingenuous. And, in fact, many people, including myself, believe that he has been lying to us for the better part of 2 years or more.
Absolutely. I think he's been I think the Free Press hit the nail on the head this week, and I wish they would have recognized this a little bit earlier. But, you know, the governor has, I will give him credit for one thing. He has been very shrewd at not tipping his hand about who he really is. But, you know, there's no doubt anymore that he's nothing but a partisan CEO political hack who takes orders from people like Dick DeVos and the Koch brothers. And, you know, he talked about how divisive the things that Scott Walker and John Kasich were doing. You know, he's gone above and beyond what they're doing. He's made it impossible to almost govern the state of Michigan going forward. And he's done it for no other reason than he takes orders from people who, as you said earlier, are billionaires who have the opportunity and the resources to just wait to strike when the iron's hot. And I just think it's, you know, it says a lot about him. He can't claim to be anything he ever was. You know, he's the only way he can call himself a nerd is that he's been allowed to be pushed around by a bully, and that's what happened.
I couldn't say it better myself. Representative Brandon Dillon is our guest. You know, from Grand Rapids, many would say that the birthplace of right to work in its modern form was born right there on the west side of the state in Grand Rapids. It doesn't really matter where the impetus came from. We are facing tomorrow some great challenges and great choices. As you know, there are thousands of people scheduled to be there. I will be there as well. And, in fact, I'd like to invite you. We'll be doing our show live from State Representative Harvey Santana's office tomorrow if you'd like to come by and say hello and get on the air again. But there are thousands of people, Representative Dillon, that are heading there. Now, we want there to be civil disobedience, but we want people to be careful. We don't want violence, but we certainly want our voices heard.
Absolutely, and it was really shameful last week when the Republicans, who had been hatching this plan behind closed doors for probably about 10 days while publicly the governor was out there saying, no, we'll have a thoughtful discussion on it. Well, apparently a thoughtful discussion is locking people out who want to have their voices heard and only listening to the people who agree with you. So I am hopeful tomorrow that people will be respectful, but I certainly expect them to be loud. I expect them to be angry, and I expect them to want to have their voices heard. And I know my House Democratic colleagues and I are going to be sensitive to that. And if the Capitol is locked out again and people are unable to get in the gallery, I suspect we're not going to want to participate in a sham vote. It really is, you know, this is getting to the level of like third world banana republics when the entire legislative effort is choreographed right down to who is able to even watch the proceedings.
Well, you know, not to mention, and I'm glad that you bring this up, not to mention that many in your own caucus have not been allowed to express themselves. Of course, there was no public comment allowed. And there won't be public comments allowed. And I don't know that it would even make a difference. But Representative Brandon Dillon, when you talk to your Republican colleagues, and we were led to believe that some of them were really struggling with this choice, it was clear after the votes on Thursday that there wasn't much of a struggle at all.
No, I think there's some. You know, I haven't talked to a lot of them. I mean, the ones that I I'm closest to geographically. I think it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to vote for this no matter what, given that, you know, I think some of them actually believe in this. But be that as it may, no, and I think they had to twist a few arms, and there were some who, given their, you know, ability to vote the way they want, probably wouldn't have done this. But I think that speaks even more about kind of legislators they are. If you can't stick up for your constituents, if you can't do the thing that you know is right because you're getting pressure from people like Dick DeVos, and then to go even a step further and not allow even the other side to read the bills before they're introduced, offer any amendments while they're on the floor, and then shut off debate while we're trying to allow people to get in the Capitol to see what's going on. You know, we may not make a difference tomorrow. In all likelihood, this is going to pass. It's going to get signed by the governor. But, you know, this is not the end of this fight. It's just the beginning. There's a lot of people out there, I think, who have finally been woken up to the fact that this governor, this legislature, has had an agenda to try to break the backs, not only of organized labor, but of the middle class. And people, over the long run, are not going to stand for it.
All right, State Representative Brandon Dillon, my guest. Let's take a quick phone call here before we run out of time and welcome Dave to the show. Dave, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You are on the air with Representative Brandon Dillon.
Good morning and good morning, Representative. I'm Dave. I'm with the Communication Workers of America. And I just would like to add into this discussion, as people say, you know, this is a choice. People should be able to choose whether they want to be in a union or not. Well, right now they have that choice. They don't have to belong to the union. But everybody's forgetting this law allows that person who says, I don't need a union, allows that person who doesn't not want to pay their fair share to reap all the benefits of the labor agreement. And not only that, federal law says the union has to represent this person. An arbitration case can cost between $10,000 to $35,000. A union would have to represent that person who chose not to pay into the union. And that's not fair. The Republicans aren't saying, this governor isn't saying, if you don't want to be in a union, then you shouldn't live under that labor agreement.
Well, Dave, thank you so much.
I just wanted to add that.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the call. Go ahead, Representative Dillon.
Well, I think that's strike right at the core of why this is so fundamentally unfair. There's the perception out there, I think, that the opponents of the right to work, we call it right to freeload, put out there is that you just get to make that choice and then you can go and be an at-will employee and strike the best deal on your own. And, you know, I heard Representative Shirky say this will make unions stronger by having to make their case. Well, what kind of case is it when an employee walks in and union comes up to them and says, here, we want you to join? Here's what you get, a collective bargaining agreement with higher wages and higher benefits, workplace protections will represent you if you have a grievance, and it's going to cost you X of dollars a month. And then the person says, well, what do I get if I don't pay the $50 a month? Well, you get the collective bargaining agreement and all the benefits, the higher wages, the representation. It's not much of a choice for a lot of people. They're going to take the easy way out.
Absolutely. Let me, again, thank you for your passion and standing up for working people everywhere. I hope I get a chance to meet you tomorrow, Representative Dillon.
I'll look for you.
Thank you, Representative Brandon Dillon from the 75th House District in Grand Rapids. A quick break here. And we'll be back.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her, getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house. You're a drug addict, I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine and went on to cocaine and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million-dollar advertising firm, and I couldn't function.
My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were. But none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoke and crack.
My parents, brother, and sisters are just baffled. How can somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, you're going to die if you don't get help. I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Let me give you a little background. Many of you know that listen to the program on a regular basis that my mom and dad, when I was a kid, were foster parents. We had lots of foster kids in and out of our house. There were 5 of us as it was, so it was always a lot of fun. And I do mean that. It was always a lot of fun when we had foster kids come through the house. Some of them would be there a very short period of time. Some of them, one was there for over 2 years. My sister and brother-in-law are foster parents and, in fact, have adopted 2 of their foster kids. But not every foster kid is that lucky, and sometimes you can languish in the foster care system, end up getting to adulthood or approaching adulthood without ever being permanently placed with a family. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what happens to those kids? What happens if they want to go to college or if they get into college, how they pay for it without having a family support structure? What happens when there's a holiday break or, you know, after finals are over with? Where do these kids go and where do they get guidance? Well, I'm happy to tell you there's a new program out there that is going to support quite a few of those kids. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest, and joining us is Steve Yeager. Steve is Director of the Children Services Administration for the Department of Human Services here in the great state of Michigan. Steve, happy holidays to you, and welcome to First Shift.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a good story, and we don't have a lot of good news this morning. So, thanks for bringing some sunshine with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You know, did I lay that out properly? Do I pretty much have it right that sometimes these kids really just kind of fall in a no man's or no women's land?
Yeah, you did an excellent job of laying this out, Tony. Some of our foster youth, as they're coming into care at older ages and turning 18 and needing to move on to post-secondary education don't have the supports that some other foster youth do who are able to be returned home, be adopted, or in permanent guardianships.
And I want to point out, it's not that these are troubled kids. There may be lots of reasons why they're in the situation that they're in, but you know, certainly, especially if I'm in this situation, I am a foster kid. I dream of getting that college education, and you know that certainly should be something that should be available to anybody, no matter what circumstances you're born into. You're here to talk about a pretty wonderful program that has been given a nice $800,000 shot in the arm.
Yeah, absolutely. These are great kids. You know, some of these kids come into care at age 16 or 17, and they just don't want to be adopted at that point, and they really want to work toward independence. And so we're happy to develop a program to provide some additional supports. In 2008, we began to partner with Western Michigan University with a CETA Scholars Program. It's a great program that fully supports foster youth at that university. But a hallmark of that program is they provide campus coaches. These are folks that are on-site full-time to support foster youth and to provide them with the kind of supports that other youth, you know, parents might do. They'll help them with things like education, working through the financial aid world at college, and we all know that's difficult at best. They'll help them with employment, housing, and as you mentioned earlier, Tony, they'll even help them with, you know, what do we do over the break, over Thanksgiving break or Christmas break. You know, they'll work to create housing situations, work to support them where they can stay on campus and have a good experience over the holidays. So this provide some great supports for these kids. So we took that model. We know it works. The foster youth at Western told us that it works and that they really like that support. And so we have executed grants with 7 universities across Michigan and $800,000 per year for a 3-year contract with a opportunity to extend that for 2 more years so that we can provide those same kinds of supports to foster youth and other universities across the state.
You know, and Steve Yeager, it's not just great that this program's available. It's actually been wildly successful.
Absolutely. The youth at Western Michigan University have just reported tremendous success there. They've been able to maintain their work at the university in a manner similar to any other student there. And so these supports have just been critical to help them be successful in their educational experience.
You know, let's for a moment, and you may or may not have this information, but have we studied at any level what happens to the kids that don't or can't be afforded this post-secondary opportunity when they approach adulthood? What happens to these, let's call them kids for the purposes of this discussion?
Yeah, I don't have any specific data in front of me, Tony, but we do know nationally that as kids age out of the foster care system without permanency, that they do experience difficulties with joblessness, homelessness, those kinds of issues. And we know that we need to really support this population of kids much more aggressively.
If I'm a foster kid or I'm a foster family and I'm listening to us this morning, Steve Yeager, how can I get more information about this program and whether or not it might be right for me or somebody in my charge?
We can certainly contact any of the 7 universities, Ferris State, Baker College at Flint, Michigan State University, Saginaw Valley State, University of Michigan Flint, Eastern Michigan University, Wayne State University, and, of course, Western Michigan University. So you can contact those universities, and they would be happy to help you. You can also contact our department. We would be happy to assist anybody in connecting with these resources.
I just think that this is a fabulously important program, and for a lot of people, I would think, Steve Yeager, is, you know, they don't, you know, these are one of those things that people just don't think about, because for the majority of people, they're not connected to the foster care system, and so that this wouldn't necessarily be in their purview. And of course, this is nothing but a good news story. I love the fact that there's a dedicated staff member, full-time staff member, at that particular campus that is there specifically to provide guidance and mentorship. I would think that this is a critical component. Steve, I'm sitting here thinking about my own college career. Obviously, you had a college career. Can you imagine having done that without family?
Absolutely not. I mean, again, there was, students report that just the financial aid piece is just, you know, really difficult for them to figure out how to do the FAFSA and the other financial pieces and just things like, you know, what do you do in terms of living arrangement, housing? What do you do if you're sick? How do you navigate the medical community? Just some of the basic things where parents normally would be there to support kids and provide that kind of safety net for them, they don't have that necessarily.
One of the things that I believe that is critically important, and again, whether it was when I was a kid or as I've gotten older and through the experience that my sister and brother-in-law have had in the foster care system, you know, a vast majority of these children truly just want to be validated, Steve Yeager. They want to know that that they're valued, that they have options, that life can be can afford them the same opportunities. And that's really what they're asking for, just to have access to opportunity. These are the vast majority of these young people, especially young adults, are do not have a victim's mentality. They just have a lack of support. And God forbid we don't give them these opportunities. This is really a gift. I begin to tell you how wonderful I feel this program is.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key ingredients for any young person is they need to have hope. And, you know, our ability to come in and provide some support here helps provide them with hope for a future, and you know, we all need that.
Oh, there's no question. There's absolutely no question we all need hope. It's something we talk about a great deal about in this program, hope and faith and again, the just access, just something as simple as access. Steve, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'm going to bet that we've just given, a couple people a Christmas gift this morning, not realizing that this program is available. And this certainly, Steve Yeager, deserves a lot of publicity because it's literally going to help hundreds of young adults find lives that some of them probably, Steve, never thought they'd have.
Absolutely, and I really want to thank you for the opportunity to be able just to talk about this today, and I want to thank your sister and brother-in-law and your mom and dad for their part for stepping up and providing a home for kids. What a great thing that they've done.
You know, before I let you go, I will say this. If people have ever considered fostering, it is the most rewarding thing you will ever go through. You can define how you want it to look. I want people to understand that they know they're always looking for more homes in the foster care system. There will never be enough. But folks, if this is something you're interested in, all you have to do is go online. You'll easily find it. Lots of support out there. Lots of Steve great training for people that want to foster. There are a few things more rewarding than fostering.
Absolutely. Go on our website. We always need good people to step up and provide a home either temporarily or permanently for these young people.
Absolutely. Steve Yeager, again, happy holidays to you, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Let me just list off the schools again, or you can get a hold of the Department of Human Services. But the universities that are participating in this grant program, Michigan State University, Wayne State University, Baker College of Flint, Ferris State University, Saginaw Valley University, Eastern Michigan University, the University of Michigan Flint, and, of course, Western Michigan University, where it all started. Steve Yeager, thank you so much, and I want to thank everybody in the foster care system. I really don't think you understand, and that's okay. That's the whole point of what we do. We help educate you how important programs like this are to young people that wouldn't have opportunity any other way. This is a gift. A quick break here, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Trupiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS Health Beat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How to fix the city. Well, you know, let me introduce my first two guests and we'll get into the topic. Joining us now is Bob Day. Bob is the Legal Aid and Defender Association, an attorney and activist. Also joining us from the Paramount Homeowners Association is Dana Hill. Let me welcome you both to First Shift. And Bob, I'd really like to start with you and first of all say good morning and happy holidays to you.
Morning. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You know, Bob, let's lay this out. We do need to do a little education here because I want to make sure people know exactly what it is we're talking about. And it's my understanding that you met with the Police and Fire Pension Board yesterday?
That's correct. The homeowners did. The Paramount homeowners met with the Police and Fire Pension Board yesterday. And the background is that 2008, in the foreclosure crisis, the pension board, Police and Fire Pension Board, loaned $10 million to an outfit called Paramount Land Holdings out of South Carolina to buy up foreclosed properties in Detroit and then resell them to residents. And it was a scam and a ripoff from start to finish. Paramount bought up about 3,000 houses, mainly in Detroit, but around Wayne County, for next to nothing from banks. These were bank-owned homes, foreclosed homes. And then resold them to residents in the city, but Paramount never recorded their interest in the property at the Register of Deeds. Didn't put the legal descriptions in the land contracts, so the homeowners couldn't record their land contracts. And so people bought up these homes. Some of them had already been foreclosed on, so they were anxious to have another opportunity to own a home. Fixed up these homes, paid their down payment, made their monthly payments, only to find out that they were facing tax foreclosure for taxes that were owed from before they ever got involved because Paramount hadn't paid the back taxes. So now all these homeowners are facing tax foreclosure. Some have already been foreclosed. Some have already been evicted. And it's just another example of vultures in the city from the pension board to Paramount, even to the treasurer, going through and ripping off people in the community on these foreclosed properties when you've got actual homeowners who have moved in, helped to stabilize neighborhoods, improved these homes, made them livable, made them their homes, and they're the ones who need to be defended and protected in this.
And Bob, isn't this illegal?
Well, yeah, the contracts are breached, and the contracts, the land contracts, are illegal. Paramount has gone belly up and bankrupt, and so the principals there, one was Abner McWhorter, a local real estate developer. He committed suicide. The other two, Mr. and Mrs. Castanis out of South Carolina, they're arrested on criminal charges and charged in Florida with fraud. They did this not just in Detroit. They did it in Cleveland and other cities, and they were well-known operators for ripping off communities, and the pension board went ahead and loaned them this $10 million and really brought a lot of harm to not just the Paramount homeowners, but their neighbors and the community.
You know, Bob, before we get to Dana, I guess I've got to ask, maybe it sounds like a naive question, I just don't know the answer to it, so I'm one of those people that ask the question. Due diligence, if I'm on the Police and Fire Pension Board, don't I have to do some due diligence, do some research, know who I'm dealing with, and then make a proper decision?
I think absolutely. I think that's absolutely right. And we're actually asking firefighters and others to get involved in this because their pension board didn't obviously do the due diligence, or if they did, they didn't care. So they loaned it to people who we know to be rip-off artists and who are infamous across the country as rip-off artists. And so they threw that money at these folks. And Paramount's going bankrupt. So now the pension board's saying, oh, well, we're the victims, and we want to go after the homeowners and try to get some value out of them. And the pension board needs to look at itself and its own operations for why they would loan this money to these rip-off artists and just one more time rip-off people in the city of Detroit.
All right, so the pension board wants to go after the homeowners who legitimately were paying their mortgages, ergo paying their taxes and insurance, and now they're saying that, well, since there's nobody else holding the bag but the homeowners, they're going to penalize them for doing the right thing. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, that's right. Now we hear a pension board member saying, oh, we got to do due diligence and we want to get money out of these homeowners. Well, where was your due diligence when you loaned $10 million to these rip-off artists from Paramount? It wasn't there. So we need to get a global settlement here where we get the pension board, the court-appointed receiver, Paramount, the Wayne County treasurer, everybody to say these homeowners need to stay in these homes, they need to get title to these homes, and the homeowners are willing to pay taxes for the period they've lived there, but they can't be responsible for, and a lot of these tax bills are $10,000, $15,000 on homes that are only worth $3,000 or $4,000. So it's ridiculous to try to hold these homeowners responsible for all those back taxes that are owed from Paramount.
From Paramount, absolutely. Well, let's say good morning to Dana Hill. And Dana, let me also wish you a happy holidays and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, too. Happy holidays.
I appreciate that. Dana, I understand you are a homeowner, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this has affected you?
Yes, it has.
All right. Explain to us, your if you don't mind, your personal story here.
Okay, where it all started with me, I found the home through Paramount Land Holdings, and how I got with Mr. Day is that my boiler had went out. So I was trying to get help through Neighborhood City Services as far as, you know, help with home repairs or whatnot. So when I went to them for help, the lady looked at my land contract and she said, go down to the Register of Deeds and record your land contract. So once I went to do that, when I took the paper to the lady, she looked at me as if I brought fraudulent papers in there. So that made me go to the next counter to get the title to see whose name, with the deed that was in for my home. And what I found out is that a company called Bryce Peters purchased my home for $1, and their address was in Las Vegas. But once I looked the address up, it was a storage facility in Las Vegas. So it's like it was so many different names on these homes, I didn't know what to do. So that's what made me contact Mr. Day. And when I went to Mr. Day and doing more research, we found out that the police and pension fund had something to do with loaning these people $10 million. We found out that Bernard Kilpatrick and Kwame Kilpatrick had something to do with this also. We found out that they had a lawsuit in Cleveland, that it was just a whole big mess. We found out something I found out something because I placed an article, I shared a Detroit News article about the foreclosure problem and about Paramount on my Facebook, and George Costanza's son, Alex, commented on my Facebook page and was trying to say that everybody, not to look at them, but to look at the fire and police pension fund because everything that was going on all stemmed from them, all the crookedness and everything else. So I feel like when we went yesterday to talk to them, that basically they were looking at us like, oh, well, you signed the contract and you have to uphold the contract that you signed. But if the contract is false, how do you uphold a false contract? When they found out that everything that Paramount said to them was false, they went and sued them. So who do we sue? Who do we sue to get our money back? Or who do we sue to get our interest in these properties? Now they're trying to say that yesterday out of the 14 houses that's on their list of the people who had land contracts, mine included, is that they're going to quiet title the house, try to get the judge to quiet title them the home, and then set up something with us to play the land contracts. And if we don't do that, then we'll be evicted. My thing is, if you already own these homes, how can you quiet title something that you already own?
Wow. All right. And obviously, Bob, this is going to take a little explanation. We've got to take a break here. So I'm going to ask both Bob Day and Dana Hill to stay where they're at. Let's take a quick break. We're going to work all through this, well, as best we can, because this is obviously a situation that's in flux. Obviously, there is a lot of factually a lot of trouble what's going on here, and this is illegal, and it may be one of those situations where everybody may end up eventually agreeing that the wrong thing was done, but there may not be a remedy. This is just dead wrong. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and continue with attorney Bob Day and homeowner Dana Hill right after this on First Shift.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
Ew! It stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Ah, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, "We're not going to gamble with your life."
I wanted to have my family back And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting.
I started doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
My parents must have told me a million times,
don't do drugs, you know, they'll ruin your life.
Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem. Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
My name's Tyler, and in 9 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. But my parents won't start talking to me about it till high school.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
Thing is, my parents won't even see it coming.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Attorney Robert Day is with us, homeowner Dana Hill. If you're just joining us, I would love to recap, but it would take the rest of the time we have to do this. Bob, let me go back to you very quickly. And I know the homeowners did meet with the pension board yesterday, and they're trying to negotiate a way out of this. Obviously, there are a lot of illegalities here. I mean, Dana laid that out pretty nicely. And certainly, this has certainly been incredibly punitive on the homeowners who have put a lot of work into these homes. You had said with your own words that they've helped to stabilize these neighborhoods. In your opinion, is the pension board willing to work with the homeowners to not only keep them in their homes, but to maybe right some of these wrongs?
Well, that's certainly what they need to do, but no, they haven't shown any willingness to do that. The pension board brought a case against Paramount in Wayne County Circuit Court. Paramount is bankrupt. Pension Board asked the court to appoint a receiver regarding all these homes. So now there's a court-appointed receiver. And unbeknownst to the homeowners, the Pension Board and the receiver, through that case, were trying to basically take away these homes from the homeowners so they could, resell them or make more money off of them or whatever. So fortunately, some of the homeowners got some notices. We've intervened in that case. We've got another hearing in that case December 17th, and they hadn't even provided notices to homeowners that they were trying to take these homes away from them. You know, these are land contracts, so if nothing else, it would be a land contract forfeiture process. But it's just this ongoing process of ripping off people in the city, and these homeowners have actually fixed up these homes, stabilized their neighborhoods. They're doing the right thing. That's what we want going on in the city, right? We want some of these foreclosed homes to be fixed up and made homes again and have families living there. That's what they're doing. But everybody from the pension board to the receiver to Paramount to the Wayne County treasurer is trying to figure out, well, how do we rip people off again? How do we take more money from them? And nobody's looking out for the interests of the homeowners. And the homeowners, I got to give them credit. We're working probably with 30, 40, we've probably had contact with 50 homeowners in this situation. They're organizing, they're fighting, they're determined to stay in their homes and defend their homes. And that's the good thing that's coming out of this. But, we need some of these forces to take a look at themselves and decide that they're going to do a little bit for what's necessary in the community as opposed to strictly trying to act like vultures and find ways to, you know, pick the community even cleaner.
You know, it's interesting, Bob. I think of Ray Vojtovich, and there's a pattern of behavior here that's very disturbing. Now, you know, the legislature just passed a bill that would ban him from, he was getting bonuses for collecting back taxes, and they've just passed some legislation that would ban that from happening. But it seems to me that the Vojtovich office has been an opportunist in the most heinous of ways. I mean, this is evil behavior, in my opinion, Bob.
Yeah, and it's really short-sighted because what they do is they try to find ways to rip off more money from people, take houses from people, make a little bit of money now, when in fact these homeowners are quite willing to be regular residents of the city and pay taxes. Right? They're willing to pay taxes they owe for the time they've lived there, but they're not willing to pay all these back taxes owed by Paramount, really the responsibility of the pension board. And that's what the treasurer needs to stand up and say, all right, we're going to clear this title. We're going to put these and the court as well, to say these homes belong to the homeowners. They'll be responsible for the taxes now and going forward, but all these back taxes are wiped out, or we're going to go after Paramount or the pension board or whoever they want to go after on those. But to focus on these homeowners, and they're all refusing to do that, and it's really a short-term view, and it's kind of a vulture view. I mean, that's what it is.
No question. You know, Bob Day, I've got to ask an obvious question before we get back to Dana Hill. And you know, are there or is there any legal precedent that weighs in favor of the pension board or the homeowners in cases like this?
Well, these are new situations, right? And it's all coming out of the foreclosure crisis and the results of the foreclosure crisis. But, yeah, I mean, we can reach settlements. I mean, we can reach settlements to quiet title to these homeowners and have the homeowners pay taxes going forward and then have the treasurer and the pension board and Paramount work out whatever they want on this past due stuff. But the key thing now is to protect the interests of the homeowners. So, yeah, we're looking at that, and we're looking at whether we can through the tax foreclosure process, do something where the homeowners are the ones who get to purchase these homes and not another round of developers who are going to try to rip off people again. Because I got one homeowner, she's done everything. She even went and paid the taxes, but she's still been foreclosed on because the tax money she paid went to cover old back taxes she didn't even know about, so it still went into tax foreclosure. And then you got a new developer who comes, buys up the house at the tax foreclosure and says, oh, I want, there's value here now because the homeowner fixed up the house, right? So you get another round of rip-offs there, and that's what people in the community are sick of.
Wow.
They're sick of these, you know, the pension board, the developers, Paramount, the county treasurer, all of them being involved in ripping off people in the community when we just need stable homeowners who are willing to fix up these houses, live in them, pay their taxes as they go along.
You know, Bob, it's at times like this where you wonder, where the hell is Congress? You know, at a time when they can't seem to agree to even disagree, this is a situation where they could legitimately and quickly help people that are in desperate need of help. Dana Hill, you know, let me ask you, you know, obviously you've probably made some quick friends, and I'm talking, of course, about other homeowners. I would imagine that you're going to refuse to leave your homes if they try to force you out. Am I right?
Yes. Because we have interest in the homes. A lot of these homes that Paramount have is decapitated. It's nothing there. They're been, you know, messed up. Pipes are out of there and everything. So for them to come and say, oh, well, we're going to take the homes that you guys already set up and fixed up on is unfair. You need to worry about the other homes that you have that's not fixed up, that the neighborhoods are looking bad. You need to fix those up or do something with those and sell those houses instead of trying to take the homes that people have fixed up and everything to make their property value go up.
Wow. You know, Bob Day, a couple quick things because we're quickly running out of time. The first thing that, of course, occurs to me is that these people are being punished for being upstanding citizens. Number one, they've been paying their mortgage. They've been paying their taxes. It just didn't make it to the treasurer's office. What can my audience do? Is there anything my audience can do to support the Paramount homeowners?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I mean, one is they can call the Police and Fire Pension Board, their representatives, and pressure them to do the right thing in this. They can come out to Wayne County Circuit Court on December 17th at 9 o'clock. Judge Gillis, Paramount homeowners, will be there. We'll be there in court. They can support them there. And we'll have other actions planned, too. And if there are any other Paramount homeowners out there who aren't involved yet or don't know what to do, they can call our office at Legal Aid, 967-5642, and that's 313 area code.
967-5642?
Correct.
313. Do you have the number for the pension board by chance?
I don't have that right now. I apologize. I'll get that to you.
That's we'll find it and do that. Bob and Dana, best of luck. Keep us informed. We don't have to end this story with this interview. We can continue on with you. So just count us in to help you out, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right,
thank
Dana,
you for having me on.
My pleasure. Dana Hill and Bob Day, we've got to get to the
Kevin
break.
Kevin Moore, President of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Shocking news in the world of heavy metal. One of the hardest bands on the planet is about to release a children's record. Songs slated to appear on the album include A Tisket a Tasket, Hey Diddle Diddle, and The Hokey Pokey. Let's listen to a sneak preview. Here's Ring Around the Rosie, performed by the one and only...
Please Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
Well, AISI, it was NBD.
You don't know what your kids are saying online or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Time for traffic.
All right, we have bad news if you're on the road. An overturned tractor trailer is causing major gridlock. Cleanup crews are trying to remove the wreckage, and traffic is backed up for nearly 12 miles. If you don't want to be stuck in your car all day, make sure you absolutely avoid route.
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Peter Alexander at the White House. President Obama is hosting congressional leaders this afternoon with the year-end fiscal cliff fast approaching. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell on efforts to strike a bargain.
The top two Democrats and Republicans will sit down with the president middle of the afternoon. Behind the scenes, the most senior staffers who've been given the task of negotiating have continued their conversations, looking for ways to try to bring a deal together.
The massive winter storm that created chaos across the U.S. this week is still hanging around. The National Weather Service says the storm could dump as much as 13 inches of snow on northern Maine today before moving on into Canada. Former President George H.W. Bush remains hospitalized in Houston with a persistent fever and cough. More than 150 Utah school teachers and workers have taken advantage of a free class on how to carry concealed weapons and ways to respond to mass violence. Dozens had to be turned away yesterday because of lack of space. This is NBC News Radio. Retired General Norman Schwarzkopf has died. He was the blunt, bulldog-like commander of U.S.-led coalition forces in the first Persian Gulf War. He was 78. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says Storm and Norman was highly respected.
He was often compared to the most celebrated generals of the 20th century, a warrior's warrior with the charisma of Douglas MacArthur and the organizational skill of Dwight Eisenhower.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin has signed a bill banning Americans from adopting Russian children. It's part of a harsh response to a U.S. law targeting Russians deemed to be human rights violators. Nearly 15,000 East Coast and Gulf Coast dock workers are threatening to strike on Sunday morning. A strike would choke the flow of billions of dollars worth of goods at ports from Boston to Houston. The San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge is being transformed into a light sculpture with 25,000 white LEDs. It'll be the largest of its type, 4 times bigger than the installation on the Eiffel Tower in Paris. I'm Peter Alexander, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's number one acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So, stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv 100% risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing Dark Spot Corrector, free and yours to keep, just for participating. With Dark Spot Corrector, it's like your breakouts were never even there. Be one of the 50 people to complete the 100% risk-free trial and get a free Dark Spot Corrector plus free shipping. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon, so call now. 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
Walmart, like Apple, has been trying to police conditions at supplier factories around the world in places like China and Bangladesh. Now it'll do the same for workers at warehouses it uses to ship its goods. In Illinois, workers have filed a class action lawsuit alleging that a hiring agency cheated warehouse workers out of wages. Walmart will use a new audit system to watch over such third-party operations. Now, DirecTV subscribers had better be ready to pony up more cash in the new year. A satellite television provider says its service fees will rise by an average of 4.5% in February due to increasing programming costs. DirecTV has to pay about 8% more for programs since almost all of its providers are hiking their rates. Fiscal cliff worries are hanging on with no resolution in sight, so after 4 days of Wall Street losses, S&P futures are now down nearly 9 points. NASDAQ futures down 12. Dow futures are giving back 62 points. I'm Steve Potosky in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Oh, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Feels like the Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at enjoy.com.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-614-4102. That's 1-800-614-4102.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. SK Energy Shots make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailers.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
I've got plenty of problems to solve. Joining me now is one of my favorite people. Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press is the editorial cartoonist and blogger. And, well, we're here to talk about that and a whole lot more. Mike, happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Tony, and to all your listeners, too.
What an interesting commentary. You did a great cartoon, editorial cartoon recently in the Freep. And it says top CEOs have launched a campaign to combat what they see as excessive spending on the social safety net. And we've got it. If we don't have it posted to Facebook, we will, because I'm not going to be able to give it justice. But the cartoon, the balloon in the cartoon is, I'm launching a campaign to combat excessive spending on first aid and fire extinguishers. Sweet God, Mike, where's the disconnect here?
You know, the cartoon itself was about this, the campaign to fix the debt. And I think this is an outfit that your readers are really going to want to pay attention to as the debate over the so-called fiscal cliff churns forward. It was started this past summer by Alan Simpson, the Republican senator from Wyoming, and Erskine Bowles, the Democrat from North Carolina. And I think you remember them from the Erskine Bowles presidential commission to fix the debt that blew up and went nowhere. And it started out without a lot of fanfare, but since it's enlisted the support of some pretty major hitters in the business world. And if you go to the Fix the Debt website, the CEO Fiscal Leadership Council includes names like, Richard Anderson, the CEO of Delta Airlines, Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, Lloyd Blankenfein, CEO of Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase and something. J.P. Morgan Chase. And I've read that they have about, this Fix the Debt organization has about 80 CEOs backing their agenda. So you might ask, why are all these CEOs climbing on board? And the Institute for Policy Studies, they released a report that summed up Fix the Debt as a quote, business-driven initiative using the so-called fiscal cliff as cover for tax changes that would damage our economy. They called it, a Trojan horse for massive corporate tax breaks.
Because we need that. God knows that solves the problem. We had a conversation yesterday, and it spilled over onto our Facebook page throughout the day yesterday and then onto the show today. This idea that there are entitlements that need to be cut. You heard me say in the introduction before I brought you on that one of my listeners says we need to start framing that a little differently. These are earned benefits. And they are, Mike, earned benefits. This idea that we'll somehow balance the budget by slashing Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, all the while leaving the most needy people in our country behind, and the disrespect that shows to generations of Americans that fought and literally died for the freedom that we currently enjoy, that somehow we need to penalize the middle class and those living in poverty, to continue to penalize them for just trying to live a decent and satisfied life. Mike, where have we gone wrong?
That's a tough question. You know, and here's the maddening thing about Fix the Debt. The cuts in Social Security that they are proposing aren't about balancing the budget. CNN Money looked at their proposal, and they broke it down into three areas. They said, one, the first thing that Fix the Debt crowd is calling for is that they want the repatriation of foreign profits. They want to be able to take the profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back here into this country. And the second point they brought up was that they want to extend the Bush tax cut. And the third point they brought up was how they propose to pay for all of this. Do you care to hazard a guess as to how they propose to pay for all of this?
I want to guess somehow taxing the middle class.
No, cutting Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
All right, but here...
This isn't even about balancing the budget. This is about finding a way to cover the cost of yet another round of massive tax cuts for those at the top.
At what level, before we get to the phones, at what level do people not understand that Social Security doesn't affect our debt?
Yeah, it's funded by the payroll tax. And, when you have $60 million in the bank and can, say anything you want, you can confuse a lot of people.
And they've done a very, very good job of that. All right, we're going to go to the phone. Folks, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. My guest again, Mike Thompson, editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. You can, of course, find everything he does at freep.com. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Happy holidays to you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Merry Christmas to you, Tony, and hi to Mike.
Hello.
I gotta admit, Tony, I'm kind of frustrated. Again, going back to these quote-unquote entitlement programs, you're entitled to the money that you paid into these programs. No question there. The bigger question is, are you entitled to more than you paid in, or you can even stretch it, are you entitled to less? And the fact is that most people that are getting Social Security or getting Medicare payments are getting more out than they paid into the system. When you have something like that, that is an entitlement, Tony, and that's just how it is.
No, that's not just how it is, Steve. I'm still going to go back to earned benefits. Thanks for the call, Steve. Mike, I'm going to let you comment on that, but it seems to me that if I'm paying into something I don't control the cost of, and that cost continues to increase, well, that's not my fault, and I should not be penalized because whoever the powers that be can't seem to rein that cost in. Is that really the obligation of the consumer to have to then at some point say, well, listen, you legitimately, we take exponentially, we take a look at what you did. You really only paid 63% into what you're going to get out of it, so we're only going to pay 63%. That wasn't the promise that was made, Mike Thompson.
Yeah, you're right. It's sort of like having homeowner's insurance, right? I mean, if your home burns down, it's going to cost several hundred thousand dollars to replace, perhaps. Now, you haven't paid several hundred thousand dollars in insurance over the time you've had your home. But, you know, there's a very easy fix for the Social Security problem, and that is to raise the cap from $106,000. Right now, everyone in America pays Social Security tax, the payroll tax, on their first $106,000. After that, any income is not taxed on that through the Social Security tax. So, I mean, if we want to solve Social Security, we raise that limit to, I don't know, $250,000, and the problem's solved.
And it really is solved. Mike, how many years have we been having that argument? Listen, we're going to put this squarely on both political parties. This isn't a Republican problem or a Democrat problem. This is a political problem. They ignore it.
Yeah, I sense your frustration, and, you know, I completely agree.
I understand. And let me just read your words. This is from the blog at the Free Press. It says, balancing the budget is going to require a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. It's going to be painful and nobody's going to emerge happy. But we should begin the process by requiring sacrifice from those with means who are in a financial position to make a sacrifice. That is pure common sense, and maybe that's the problem, Mike Thompson. Maybe you're just being too logical.
Well, I doubt that, but it really is maddening when you talk about the people who are most able to make the sacrifice. And the topic of the blog post was fix the debt, and these guys aren't talking about sacrifice. They're talking about getting even more. They want to extend the Bush tax cuts. They want to be able to repatriate profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back into the country tax free. And so the organization, it talks about debt reduction, but it sounds more like a way for CEOs to just use their wealth and influence to their advantage.
Sounds like an entitlement, doesn't it, Mike Thompson?
Yeah, my, amazing. It certainly does,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Mike, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll come back and continue our conversation. Mike Thompson, the editorial cartoonist, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger with the Detroit Free Press, is my guest. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care,
safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow the lines in the web. But I look up to my real-life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great would be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to hear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We need to perform a surgical biopsy.
VMA MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
I am Tony Trupiano. Mike Thompson with me. He is the award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. We're talking about an initiative funded to the tune of $60 million from CEOs who are looking for a $134 billion tax break. I'm going to tell you, if we were to kind of frame this as a family, Mama and Daddy didn't raise you to be this way. This would be evil behavior, and you'd all get grounded if you acted this way in your own homes. Yet here they are. And Mike, as you pointed out in the blog post, these are people that are saying that fixing Social Security somehow solves our debt problem, which we've already determined it doesn't do. They're the same CEOs that have fattened their own pensions and underfunded their own retirement accounts for their employees. I mean, the hypocrisy here is overwhelmingly offensive.
Yeah, and it's not just that. I mean, these are the same CEOs whose companies benefit mightily from defense contracts and, you know, a whole list of other government programs, and they're not talking about cutting any of that. The real focus of Fix the Debt is to go after the so-called entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, as a way not to fix the debt, but to basically offset the cost of you know, another corporate tax break.
You know, it seems to me that we continue to have the wrong conversation. Mike, last week on the program, we did a segment with the Michigan League for Public Policy on some nonpartisan numbers that showed that the wealthy are certainly getting wealthier. The poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is legitimately shrinking. These are not made-up numbers. These are not my liberal mind playing tricks on me. This is the reality of what's happening in this country. I do agree we have some serious issues that we need to resolve. I also agree that it's going to take sacrifice from everybody. But let's talk about, you know, the 98%, 95% of the country that has continued to sacrifice. And what do they get for it? They get penalized. They get criticized. Look what Mayor Bing did yesterday on CNN, Mike Thompson. He talks about, you know, employees of the city that have an entitlement mentality, and that the only way to solve the problems is to, you know, force people to move closer to the center of his universe. The disconnect here, again, it continues to be offensive, but we can't solve problems if we can't have a real discussion about everyone paying whatever that fair share is. And, you know, some of these CEOs with fixed debt have said that they would be willing to pay more, but I don't think we're ever going to agree on a definition of fair share.
Yeah, you know, and I think what makes the, you know, just when you take a step back and look at deficit reduction, what makes it so maddening is we just had an election, right? The American people spoke. And they elected President Obama, and President Obama was not vague about what he wanted to do. He was very clear about the fact that he wanted to end the tax cuts for the top 1%. And yet here we are less than 1 month later, you know, with the masters of the universe. They actually had a meeting this week with Obama in the White House, and they met with congressional leaders as well. And here they are trying to, you know, relitigate, if you will, the results of the election and what the American people said they wanted when they reelected President Obama.
Yeah, again, I'm going to continue to use the word disconnect because there is a disconnect. I'm continually watching what both sides are saying. The Republicans continue, Mike Thompson, to insist that they have some kind of I don't know, psychic intuition about what the American people have really said as opposed to what they really did say. I suggested, and I know you get your fair share of hate mail, Mike. I know you do, because you're being honest, and people don't like honesty. I said on the show day before yesterday that as borrowing is at a historic low, that we should finish what we started in Obama's first term. Let's go out and let's start rebuilding our communities. Let's do our infrastructure. Let's build our energy grid. You know, let's go out and borrow the money and do that now. Let's take a little that would be painful, but it would pay off. It's an investment. It would put people back to work. It would be a revenue creator for the government. I'm telling you, almost death threats from saying that.
Yeah, you know, normally in a capitalist society, and, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool capitalist, but you would expect the business community to be creating jobs and growing the economy. I mean, after all, they've gotten tax cuts for 30 years now. They're sitting on a pile of cash, $2 trillion, but they're not spending. They're not, you know, creating jobs. And if they're not going to create jobs, and if you know, these tax cuts aren't going to pay off as promised, well, what do we do to grow the economy? You know, it's sort of similar to the same criticism of Obama's stimulus plan. I mean, if Obama hadn't stepped in, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month. I mean, you know, think about the consequences.
You know, it's interesting. Senator Debbie Stabenow that puts before the Senate not that long ago, 3, 4, maybe 5 months ago, a package, a bill that said that if we allow corporations to repatriate their profits, their foreign profits, for a tax break. Now, it wouldn't be a free tax break, but it would be a tax break. that we would allow them to do that, but in return for that, they would have to create jobs. Republicans turned that down. They turned it down. They flat refused. They filibustered it is what they did. So anytime we have an idea that maybe makes a little bit of sense, it's got to be attached with this ideology that you just said it perfectly, Mike Thompson. We just had an election, and the electorate spoke and said, you know what, we don't want to play the game the way you folks play it anymore. You're right. President Obama didn't hide what he was looking to do. He was actually quite progressive in this campaign, and America voted for progressive change. I'm tired, Mike. I need to see change.
Yeah, I think you're not alone. But, you know, I think there was a glimmer of hope after the election that, okay, the message has been sent to, you know, the obstructionists in the Republican Party that the American people are pretty tired of it. And, you know, we're not weeks out from the results of that election, and it's already starting back again.
Yeah, well, it is already starting to kick in because God knows 3 weeks is just too much time, you know, before we have to. Well, we're not going to solve all these problems today. I do appreciate you pointing this out. I'm glad I'm not getting your email because mine's intense enough, but I'm sure you're getting some doozies. In the meantime, Mike, we'll have you back on soon. Everything's posted up on the Facebook page. Go check it out. Mike, if we don't talk to you before the holidays, have a Merry Christmas, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, sure, of course, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mike Thompson, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. Quick break here.
Hi, this is Zach with Progress Michigan, wishing all of the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW. Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
What I want to be when I grow up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion.
We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CareSearch and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Very excited to talk to my next guest. Not only is this gentleman a dedicated public servant, serving his House district admirably, just reelected to another term, but he has such a rich and deep history helping young people, being involved and dedicated and invested in education, certainly understands the ins and outs of the city of Detroit and all of the challenges that they face, and is doing everything he can to represent them with pride and, of course, with a great deal of sincerity, which was our first word this morning. As you know, and we talked about this last week in detail, the governor has come up with a new reform plan. One of it, part of the plank, involves something called the Education Achievement Authority. Well, not everybody is on the same page as the governor, and that would include my next guest. Let me welcome to First Shift State Representative Thomas Stallworth. Representative Stallworth, happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, happy holidays to you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I certainly appreciate everything that you have done, both in the House and, of course, throughout your professional career. Nobody is more invested in the House, I think I can safely say, than Thomas Stallworth as it relates to education.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate that, those kind words. But, you know, I'm a father of four, grandfather of two, and I really understand that public education is the key to upward mobility for all of our families. And so I do everything I can to support kids getting the best possible education.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Education Achievement Authority. And I know that this is not something you're on board with at this time.
That's correct, Tony. That's correct. The way current legislation is written, it is again an overreach by the governor and the Republicans, but doing more of their continued alternative governance initiatives. And if we heard anything through the last election, as the voters told us, they want us to respect local control.
You know, it's interesting, and you come at this with a little bit different perspective. You are not anti-charter school. You're pro-education, and there's a big difference. You're also very pro-public education, and so you have been, if you will, an equal opportunity person with regards to making sure that all children have the best available tools and skills, that they have the best teachers and the best facilities. And this actually begs, I think, a pretty obvious question. Does the Education Achievement Authority get us closer to the goal of a richer, deeper, wonderful tradition education? Does it allow us a platform to make sure that our children are prepared for the challenges that meet them? And this doesn't do any of that.
No, it really doesn't, Tony. It's to your original question, you know, the Educational Achievement Authority, which right now includes 15 schools in Detroit, really hasn't demonstrated a track record of delivering the kind of quality of performance that it has espoused. And quite frankly, we heard in testimony during our committee meetings that, you know, we have classrooms with 50 and 60 children in them. That safety is at risk for students who are attending the school, that they're not staffed effectively to provide a safe environment for children. That Title I dollars haven't been provided to those EAA schools, and so, which basically means again they are underfunded and can't possibly deliver the kind of services that they are espousing that they can. And so, once again, the governor is running ahead of us. He believes that, I think, that musical chairs, changing the person in charge, will make a difference. When you and I know and parents know that what really makes a difference is what goes on in those classrooms.
Well, there's no question that's true. I look at what is proposed. I'm deeply involved in and education issues, and the show has dedicated countless hours to fairness and to truth. And you know, we want to have a real discussion. We want to reform education. We certainly want to make sure our children are safe and given opportunities. But we also know, Representative Stallworth, that not all school districts are created equal. They're not all getting the same amounts of money. They're not all getting the same kinds of technology. And we see what the Republicans have done to education in the last 2 years. How can anybody honestly look at what the Republican agenda and this governor's agenda has been for public education and honestly be able to, I mean, look in the mirror and say to themselves, we're doing something good here? Because they're not.
No, they're obviously not. And again, I just look at it from a parent's standpoint. And parents want a school that's safer for their children. They want a school where the teachers are competent. They want a school where their children are motivated and inspired to learn more, and they care less about who's actually in charge of the system. The Republicans, however, spend all their time worrying about the system and have no real track record to stand on. Quite frankly, all we've got to do is look at what's happening with performance with DPS and Highland Park, where the ACLU currently has a lawsuit based on the underachievement of Highland Park while it has been under emergency manager rule. And so as a state, we have not demonstrated that we're any more competent at running schools and school districts than those that the public elects to do so. You know, so this becomes, and it smells like, more and more of the same, an effort to privatize and dismantle the public education system as we know it, all with the intention of allowing private entrepreneurs to get into the public trough and to earn a profit.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, when we uncovered last week that that privatizing could mean actually Michigan taxpayer dollars leaving the state, as you're well aware, Representative Stallworth, somebody can come in and run the school that's based in Iowa. And when we take a look at that, I mean, the idea of my tax dollars going out of state to questionably educate my children. Now, we also, of course, need to talk about. There are no guards in here. There are no benchmarks. There's no way to measure. And what the governor is asking us to do is embrace expanding a system that we don't even know that's going to work yet in the EAA.
Well, you make a really great point, Tony, because not only aren't there any measures or targets for improvement, the language actually eliminates the requirement for the schools in the EAA to participate in state mandated metrics that would measure the performance of those schools. And so the public would actually end up flying in the blind. Parents would not know how well those schools are performing as they're trying to make a decision as to whether their child should attend. Listen, quite frankly, the governor and the Republicans really have taken a dysfunctional approach to educational reform. If we really want to prepare our kids to compete in a global environment, what we should be doing is looking at those countries who are outperforming us with public education systems and learning from them and using the data and the learnings that we get from them as to how to improve our system. That is not what we're doing. What we're doing is taking poor communities, poor schools, poor students, and doing this a private entrepreneurial experiment with their futures. And that is just a sin as far as I'm concerned.
Well, isn't this, and I'm just asking the question, I mean, if I might recall my facts correctly, you know, didn't the voters in the state of Michigan just a few years back say no to vouchers? This sounds like a voucher program is what it sounds like.
Well, it is. This particular bill, SB 6004, is linked to House Bill 5923. Now, you know, the governor's staff will tell us that it's not linked, but we know in effect that it is. 5923 is legislation that actually opens the door once again to a larger use of charter schools, a larger use of cyber schools, a larger use of online learning for our adolescents, none of which has been proven to deliver the results. Hey, during the last session, we met with legislators from Colorado who expanded their cyber school program. The one thing they said that they would have done differently, admittedly, is they would have put performance measures in place to ensure that those cyber schools were delivering the results that we needed. And they would have adjusted the funding for them, because we know cyber schools don't require brick and mortar like traditional public schools. None of this is in the legislation that the governor has proposed.
Yeah. Representative Stallworth, we need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Sure.
All right, great. Representative Thomas Stallworth, my guest. Much more to get to on this topic. I assure you, much more to get to on this topic, but let's take this quick break, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Steve Henderson, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, and I want to wish everyone at First Shift a happy holiday and happy new year.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fastballing philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track from a modem jack plays MP3s, threes, and I download fast. I read the bits on the microchip, chips, and I burn all my favorite hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. All you really have to do is go into a chat room and start talking. Once we start chatting, I act as cool as possible. The more we chat, the more they trust me. When they send their picture, I tell them how hot they are. After I convince them we're soulmates, I ask to meet in person. Once that happens, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
One in five kids online is sexually solicited. Visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President L. Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. 888-55.
Representative Thomas Stallworth is my guest. We're talking about education reform here in the state of Michigan. The lame duck session of the state house starts today, and we're going to get to that in just a bit. You know, Representative Stallworth, I have to ask, you remember the Detroit School Board, the Wayne County Community Child Care Coordinating Council, the Black Child Development Institute, the Children's Aid Society. Has anybody ever come to you and said, you've been around education a long time, you have helped generate success in many ways, both in the public schools and in charter schools. What's the solution here, Representative? Has anybody asked you that question?
Well, unfortunately, no, Tony. You know, we're out of balance in terms of power in the House. Even after picking up seats on the Democratic side. And, you know, the Republicans and the governor have the votes that they need, and they just push their agenda, which really caters to special interests and a privatizing of public schools and public resources. This has little, this, you know, Tony, honestly, and you know this, we've talked about it before, this has very little to do with helping children and helping our schools perform. This is all about money. And it's about opening a door for private interests to run public schools and to make a profit doing so. And you and I know that if profits are taken out of the school dollars that are allocated, that basically means there's less dollars for kids. The resources and education that we need to provide them.
What can we do? And I think that we need to really get to the heart of this. What can we do as voters, as constituents, to stop this madness? Although we don't have the numbers, certainly the imbalance you talked about. But as voters, is there something we can do? I mean, is it enough to just call or write?
Well, yeah, I think the calling and writing is a good first step. And we got to remember it is an electoral process. The governor's got to run again. And I think he needs to hear from the public about how they feel related to these measures and these efforts. First, to reinforce the message that we want the state to respect local control. Secondly, to make sure that he understands that we don't want to use our kids as guinea pigs. That we are not interested in initiatives that have no proven track record and have no analysis to support that they should be implemented. You know, again, as a father, you know, every day is important that our children attend school. And we really just can't afford to lose days of quality education while we're trying to experiment with new ways to govern.
Well, it just seems to me, Representative Thomas Stallworth, that everything that this legislature and this governor has done, the Republicans, I should emphasize, has diluted the product, if you will, the product being public education or education in general. Every time you expand the amount of charter schools or the amount of cyber, I'm very concerned about cyber schools, but it seems like we just dilute the product, that we're not enriching the process. We're certainly not supporting teachers. I would suggest morale is probably at an all-time low. I mean, you can only privatize and worry about profit. When you start teaching or when you start treating education like it's McDonald's, it's not. It's not fast food. It's not a business. And you need to be very careful. Are we taking care? You talked about Title I. Are we taking care of the most needy children? And I have to suggest that we're just not doing that. We're failing our children.
No, we really are. And again, we heard some of the most egregious testimony from teachers inside the EAA now, testimony that indicated the mainstreaming of special ed students in classrooms of 45 and 50 students with no individualized learning plan. They are getting zero attention. Teachers are basically faced with the challenge of making a decision. Do I spend my time with the special ed children and ignore the other children, or do I spend my time with those on the normal track and ignore the special ed children? I mean, let's think about it. A teacher in a classroom with 50 children in it, with no help, how could they possibly be expected to deliver any kind of quality educational outcomes? And so, again, what I like to emphasize is this, Tony, is that we can spend a lot of time arguing over who's in charge and playing this game of musical chairs. And while we're doing that, we're missing every opportunity to impact what goes on a day-to-day basis with individual children in the classroom. Just as a way of an example, the chancellor of the EAA, I think he was paid somewhere close to $500,000 using corporate dollars and nonprofit dollars. Well, you know, if we're so effective at raising those kind of dollars to help schools, why aren't we doing it in a way that actually affects the classroom? Why are we doing it to pay executives more and more? And again, to me, this lines up with this emphasis on privatizing public education and running it like a business. Superintendents typically don't make that kind of money, nor should they.
No. Let me very quickly, because we're almost out of time, two things I want to get to. The lame duck session of the legislature begins today. Obviously, by the time this day is over with, we're going to understand what the Republicans' agenda are. Right to work is something that's of grave concern to most of the people in my audience. We've got some fights ahead of us, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we've got a number of very challenging legislative issues that to face. Right to work, obviously, is one. And again, I think if there's any misunderstanding in Lansing, I don't think that the fact that we let Proposal 2 fail was an indictment on collective bargaining. It was maybe people feeling like the Constitution didn't need to be amended. But we really need to understand that the passage of Proposal 1, our success there really was an indication that people want contracts to be honored and they want local control. And so a clear message has to be sent to the governor and the Republicans that this need not be and should not be an opportunity for them to try to push a right-to-work agenda.
Absolutely. We're ready to fight that fight. We've only got about 30 seconds left. Your friend Fred Durhall announces his candidacy for the mayor of the city of Detroit. Good news.
That is good news. And quite frankly, we need some talented folks who know their way around Lansing, who understand the connection between Detroit's fiscal stability and the support that's required from the state legislature. And Fred certainly is well-equipped and competent enough to handle that job.
All right, we're just out of time for today. Happy holidays to you, Representative. I know we'll talk again soon. Thank you for so much of your time this morning.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, Tony. God bless you. Happy holidays, and I hope to talk with you soon.
Thank you. Representative Thomas Stallworth. A quick break here.
Hi, this is Susan Gimes with Murray's News Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Ew! It stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933. Narcanon provides free assessment and referral services. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit our website at stopaddiction.com. This-